to The Big Web Show, featuring everything web that matters. My guest today is Jen Robbins, and I'm Jeffrey Zeldman, your host. We're in an industry where oftentimes it's run like a boys' club, but our guest today is a woman who is highly respected, highly accomplished, technical, as well as creative. She really covers everything. She's the author of the first HTML book that I ever read, which she wrote when she was six, I believe. And she is an editor and writer for O'Reilly. She is a conference founder, a speaker, just an author. So let's just welcome Jennifer Robbins. How you doing, Jen?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here, Jeffrey.
You are actually our first repeat interviewee.
I'm really honored.
It's cool, right?
It's like some awesome company on that list of podcasts you've got. So this is great. Thank you for having me back.
My pleasure. Our pleasure. You wrote Web Design in a Nutshell, which is, there's been like 17 editions of that, I believe.
I wish. There are three editions of that. It's okay. Sorely needing a fourth. But you know what? I don't know if you can fit it all in a nutshell anymore.
Yeah.
It might have, you know, it's having an identity crisis right now.
What has happened to, I mean, I still think in some fundamental way, really what we're talking about is HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. But everything has gotten so much more complicated. Why is that?
Well, I guess in a word, it would be mobile, or just, you know, making web pages work on every conceivable device at every conceivable size and context and network speed and what have you.
Yeah, who's your hero? Or who are your heroes in terms of thinking about that kind of stuff?
I have so many heroes right now. Well, in the responsive world, Brad Frost is entertaining and just keeps cranking out the resources that people need, you know, like assembling things, speaking, you know, he's tearing it up right now. Karen McCrane blows my mind, and she has the new book out, which I'm excited to get and read. But yeah, she's really been a big influence on me. Josh Clark, in terms of interface design. Oh, I know I'm leaving everybody out, but there are just so many people doing amazing stuff right now.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
I hate when people do that to me.
And you're I've got a long list of people that I refer to constantly, just because people, you know, it's like, you know, I started the web design stuff in '93, so and we were figuring a lot of stuff out then. And then for a little while, we kind of had it figured out. You know, everyone's up to speed with standards, and we kind of hit our groove and we knew what we were doing. And then, you know, smartphones came along, and it's like, oh man, we have to figure everything out again. So it's, I attend, there's a conference I really like, an Event Apart, of course, but also this Breaking Development conference,
right,
that really
BDConf.
That BDConf that targets, you know, responsive web design and mobile design.
People like Jason Grigsby,
yes,
Brad Frost, Luke Rebluski.
Luke is, yeah, he's just provides so much good information for everybody.
Luke's a machine. He doesn't even pee.
I don't know how he does it. I truly don't.
I've seen him do workshops where he just stands on that stage, and while everyone else goes to the bathroom and takes breaks, he stands there answering questions for the five other people that are superhuman and don't need to take a break.
He could be a cyborg. We don't know.
He kind of looks that way. That's what I say. You know, any man that good looking, probably a cyborg.
So, but, you know, there is a real spirit of cooperation right now, and like, share what you're learning. We're just learning and trying. People are just trying stuff out. You know, it's like, okay, let's see if this works. Let's see if this works. And sharing successes and sharing failures in a way that, you know, I haven't seen in a long time. And I think even when we were, you know, you started out very early in the web as well, but we were a little more isolated then. So we were figuring things out, but there wasn't the community built now. But now we've got like such a wonderful, vibrant web design and mobile design community. And I just love the community. They're really my people. You know, it's like creative, but problem solving. Like that's my space. You know, I really like those people. And
So you've just come out with Learning Web Design 4th Edition.
That's right.
Which people can go to learningwebdesign.com. This is like, what, your third, fourth, fifth book? I mean,
that is the fourth edition of that book.
No, and I know, but how many books?
Oh, I keep, it's the four, my fourth title, but I keep rewriting three of them over and over again.
Right.
So I've written, that's a 13th book release.
Good golly.
And
wait,
this
so
one,
you can
oh
kind
gosh,
of live on that. Changed. You can kind of live on that, right?
It's a buffer. I don't know about living on that, but it's a nice safety net.
But so when you probably the first edition of Learning Web Design was like, here's how to use tables to make layouts.
Here's how to cut up a big image and hold it together with a table.
Right,
yes,
right.
There's a whole chapter on that.
Not that there's anything. Not that there's anything wrong with it. We all
it's what
started
we
there.
To do. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And that's all we could do with the browsers the way they were and everything mm-hmm. else. So in this edition, you've got so much new stuff to do. I mean, HTML5 elements, APIs, the ever-changing CSS3.
And the biggest
animation.
Shift was, yep, and the biggest shift. I mean, I had to get HTML5 in there. I had to get CSS3 in there. I added new chapters on JavaScript, which is the first edition that JavaScript has been in there. But it's just such an essential part of the toolkit now. And but the biggest shift was really mobile. And the way it just recolored every conversation, you know, even little things like in the chapter on how to add links, you know, it's not like when users click your link, it's when users click or tap your link, you know, just like every, you know, it just permeated every corner of every lesson. So that was a big change. Also, you know, and then in the middle, like, you know, I was writing about, I have these chapters that on graphics that have been more or less unchanged since 99. And then all of a sudden, Retina display on iPhones. And then, oh, whoops. And then so I rewrote the chapter to include Retina iPhone stuff. And then the Retina iPad came out. I'm like, okay, I had to rewrite that chapter to include Retina iPad. And then the Retina MacBook Pro came out. And I had to rewrite the chapter again to include that. I mean, it was really a moving target. It's one of the most difficult
How do you approach... How do you, as a developer, approach that kind of thing? Because we don't want to get back to the bad old days where we're targeting stuff to specific browsers, specific devices, specific widths. If responsive taught us anything, it's like, forget about widths, forget about specific devices.
Right.
Designed to capabilities, which is what web standards was always about. Designed mm-hmm. to capabilities and use progressive enhancement and all that. So how do you reconcile design the capabilities, how do you reconcile that to all these Apple Retina and other high-res displays and the bandwidth concern that's, I mean, we simultaneously have mobile devices that want, you know, that are capable of displaying very high-density visual information, and at the same time, you might be on a really slow network. And
right.
every second counts, and there's all, you know, we can all quote the studies of like every, if they don't get the whole page in a nanosecond, they'll leave and, you know, all that. Like,
right.
And where will they go? If I'm trying to connect to my next flight and the airline's website doesn't load in the next nanosecond, I'm not really going to go anywhere else. I, you know, so all that stuff you have to take with a grain of salt. But how do you reconcile... And what do you advise in the book, which I haven't read yet? It's out and it's new. I haven't read it yet. But what do you advise for striking that balance between, you know, Retina quality and mobile bandwidth concerns, for instance?
Well, first you have to choose your battles, and you wouldn't retinize every image on your site. You choose like maybe the hero image or if it's
right.
a product where texture is important, you know, just you choose probably your logo, you'd want to do that. To be honest with you, I have been writing and not developing, so I don't have any of my own tricks for doing that. And when I was writing, this was all really just being figured out. It seems like we have markup solutions that a lot give us some options, but don't really address the network speed
right.
aspect of it, you know, yet. And I know that there are things in the works at W3C that will help with that sort of, with, you know, speed detection. I don't know if that, I've heard that needs to be handled by the server and not, it's not really a front end ability, or maybe it's not yet, But yeah, there's just a lot to figure out.
Yeah, it's so different. What, I mean, when you wrote the first edition, I had dinner last night with Don Buckley, who was my first client at Warner Brothers in 1995. He was my first web client.
And was that the Batman site?
The Batman site. And oh, we were talking
about that. I was so jealous of that.
But, you know, we were both, and our colleagues, everyone that worked on it, we were really excited by the new technology and new capabilities, and there was a sense of discovery. But I don't think, because no one expected a certain level of professionalism, there weren't multi-million dollar industries that relied on the web. I mean, it was mm-hmm. just experimentation and play, and you didn't, there didn't seem to be the same dire consequences. Now there's this, again, a lot of experimentation and play and a lot of excitement. The medium seems all new again, but there's also panic and fear because, you know, if something goes wrong, your business could fail, or if something goes, you know what
right.
I mean? So
yep.
I love the new challenge and, the new sharing that's going on. And it reminds me of the old sharing. It reminds me of the old days, the pioneer buckaroo, buccaneer days. But there's a lot of agony, I think, in the field now, which would be daunting if I were starting. I mean, when you and I started, there wasn't that much to learn. We got to make up a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And now, it seems to me, there's just so much. It's so much more technical. Even if you're just basically a front end, even if you're a markup person, it's so much more technical.
Yeah. No, it's a lot more complicated, and that certainly has changed throughout the editions of my book. But you know, you have to start somewhere. So I've always, I guess, taken pride in the fact that I can take these gnarly topics and get just down to that very first step that people like is low enough for people to step up on, you know, and then move up to the next thing and the next thing. In the book, you know, there was a lot of, you know, like Pandora's boxes. Like if I have mentioned this one little thing, I have to like take on a whole world
yes.
of, you know, I'm not coming up with an example right now, but, or even just like responsive images. Like once you mention that, like there's so much you could talk about. You could fill a book with it,
right.
you know, easily. And I have a sidebar to address it. So, you know,
that's the danger with long form books. I mean,
right.
long form books that are trying to be comprehensive. And it's really hard to find that balance too. I mean, that's a whole design right. problem, right?
Right.
So yeah. I use pixels
I try to lay a good foundation. But then I always make sure that the more advanced like topic is at least introduced. It's like, you know, we're scratching the surface here, but you would you should look at this website and this website to find out what's going on now because it's a much larger picture. And when you're ready for it, you know, but I never held anything back. So even though I'm just teaching people like this is an open bracket and this is a closed bracket in chapter one. By chapter, you know, 18, I'm introducing Less and Sass, and so they know what it is and why they'd want to use it and why to investigate it later. I don't have time to teach it all in the book, but like I want even my beginners who are just getting started to have a really good overview of some of the problems and some of the issues. And you know, there were just a lot of places in that book where I just had to say, you know what, this is a problem. We haven't solved it yet.
Sure.
People are trying. And here are some, you know, websites that track it. So I encourage you to go and find out, you know, what's happening when you're reading this book. Because, you know, even already some things in the book aren't completely up to date. And it just came out in August. But a year from now, who knows? You know, so but I did my best to present that really detailed step-by-step, you can do it, you know, here are a few tags, now you try them out in an exercise, you know, you've learned a whole chapter, now take a quiz, you know, just like, so you could like learn it all on your own at home. It's also being used in a lot of Web Design 101 courses as a course book, because it is very step-by-step and teaches that foundation really like slowly and in a way that people can digest. But I don't hold anything back. Like every element in the spec is in there. Not all of them get the full treatment. And, you know, all of the supported CSS3 modules are at least addressed and introduced. Some of them, you know, the more useful ones are handled in more detail. But that's really all you can do. You know, just point people to resources that are tracking it so that they can follow up on it later.
Right. You've got, it's a book, but it's also almost like courseware. You've got over 50 exercises in the book, mm-hmm. right? And you provide them on the web, or you provide the materials on the web.
All the materials are there, yep, that you can work along.
And when you talk about not covering everything in the, I mean, you can't cover everything in the depth. You can write a whole book just on each thing. But you've got all these recommended books on your website, the other people's mm-hmm. books from every publisher under the sun.
Yep.
And if there's a good book, it's there, and you know, all sort of pitched at different levels. So mm-hmm. you know, from like CSS, The Missing Manual, which is more, you know, kind of introductory, user friendly, to like The Definitive Guide by Eric Meyer, where you sort of, although anyone can understand it, it's sort of more pitched at a development professional. So
right.
you've got all these things. How do you? Who's the, are you writing for one person in your head when you're writing a long book like this? Are you writing for a beginner? Are you writing for a colleague? Are you writing for someone? I mean, like the first book I wrote, I had to keep going back and forth between, I was writing for Steve Champion some of the time, right? Because if I said something that was kind of true, but there were exceptions, he was going to nail me.
Right, right.
But I couldn't go into enough depth to please him and not lose a beginner.
So you're right. Yeah, no, it's a balancing act. Now, my first book, the Nutshell book, Web Design in a Nutshell,
right.
I wrote that in 97, and I wrote that book for me because at the time there were no reference books on web stuff. You had to do every little thing you wanted to do. You had to do a web search and find it and look it up. And I just was like, I just want one book where all that little stuff is in there, and presented it to O'Reilly, and they said, hey, that sounds like it would fit into our Nutshell series. So that was the birth of that book. I was
You weren't working for them at the time? You just sort of came to them?
I worked for them from 92 to 96, and then I was an author for them from 96 through 2010, and then I went back as an employee, and I'm their digital designer UX UI person now.
So you love them?
I really do. I'm a total fangirl.
Talk about them. That's cool. Your boss
sure.
won't mind.
No, even, you know, back then there was this real spirit of I don't know, like pioneering, you know, like they were always a couple steps ahead when it came to the internet and to, internet and the web. When that first came along, Dale Doherty was on it. You know, there were 50 websites in the world, and he's like, hey, there's this new part of the internet, and we're going to make a magazine, and it's going to be, you know, funded by sponsors. So that was very forward thinking in, you know, April of 93.
Amazing.
But there's also, you know, The began by helping people by, you know, it's like, hey, this stuff isn't so hard to figure out. You know, you want to use Unix here. We'll just like write up this little pamphlet and we'll talk to you like we're your friend and colleague, and we'll, you know, demystify this stuff and help you out. And that spirit of like making people's lives easier and their job easier is and making in, you know, making the world better that way. That's sort of the spirit that I like. And also the fact that they're always thinking and trying. They have a really cool conference called TOC, Tools of Change, which addresses digital publishing. And they're doing all sorts of things with big data, and that they're just very open about sharing with the publishing community. So, yeah, I'm extremely proud to be associated with them. And October 19th was my 20th anniversary of my first day working there.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah,
I know. So, yes, I must have been 6, maybe 9.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, yeah. Nobody does that anymore. Nobody's able to, like, unless you work in the school system or something, nobody's able to just, or in the police force, like, nobody's able to just go to a place, find it, love it, and just stay there for,
well,
20
years. I did take 16 years off in between my employment. But during that time, I was writing books every other year for them. So I'd have a freelance year and then a writing year and a freelance year, and I'd alternate.
So that was like marriage, open marriage.
Right.
Okay. This is as good a place as any to thank the people who make this show possible. And for this episode, that they are the fine people at Shutterstock. Shutterstock.com is where you'll find over 20 million stock photos, vectors, illustrations, and video clips. Start your search at Shutterstock.com to find that perfect image for your website, ad, publication, or any other creative project. Sign up for a free browse account. Go to Shutterstock.com. No credit card needed. Which is a big deal because a lot of sites do require that. And if you don't have one, that can be scary. When you find the images you like, if you decide to purchase, you can use this special Big Web Show offer code for a 30% discount. Just go to Shutterstock.com, use Big Web Show 11, all lowercase, one word, Big Web Show 11. Use that discount code and you'll get 30% off any package at Shutterstock.com. So we thank them, and let's get back. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. I want to talk to you about the workflow, designers and code and workflow stuff you've been doing, and the kind of virality, to use an overused word, of a recent presentation you gave. And I also want to hear something about the Artifact conference that you are starting or...
Certainly. So, you know, we've established I've been in this biz for a while, right? But I feel like recently when I do sit down to design a website or, you know, hopefully one day redesign some of my old stale sites that are out there, I don't know. I feel like I don't know what the hell I'm doing anymore. Like I just like, you know, total like head desk experience. It's like I don't know what to use. Like my tools don't do quite what I need them to do. And I haven't found the right tool. And I feel like I'm between, I'm not sure where to start thinking, you know, so I feel like I'm at a loss. And, you know, just like, you know, in 97, where I thought, well, if I need this book, other people need this book, right? So if I'm having these struggles, I'm sure a lot of other, even experienced web designers are like, okay, what do I do now? And so I thought, I'm going to like just write up my experience. And then, you know, I've had my ear to the ground pretty, you know, closely on this whole responsive web design stuff and just, you know, mobile design in general. And I'm seeing trends. And I just thought I'd share those trends. I gave a presentation recently to the Providence UX meetup that we have every month in Providence and presented a talk called Designers and Code and Workflows and Stuff. And just talked about like the changing ways of doing things, in particular, you know, how like switching from a waterfall to an agile process, you know, development process has changed the way we do things. Like no big handoffs and then, okay, I start a new project. You know, it's much more iterative, working, you know, working together in small iterations throughout the project. And then also just how mobile has changed, you know, and, you know, just multi-device because it could be a phone, it could be a TV. It's just like every possible place where you might be using a web page.
Right. And in fact, we used to say, well, mobile, you know, the mobile context is people are on the go, they're running, they got 5 seconds at the store and, you know, they want to check, you know, the stock market or something. And right. that's a mobile use. And now we know.
Now we know. No, it's on the couch while they're watching the, you know, the election results pour in. And
they're tweeting with their friends about, you know, I'm so happy or I'm so sad about the election results. Right. That's one use. There's actually two, right? There's all the people that can afford, that are middle class and can afford a computer and have a computer, but now they also have these other devices and they're casually, constantly interacting with the device while on the couch or whatever.
Right.
And then there's this other use case, the 31%, the disenfranchised, the people who 10 years ago, there was the digital divide and they can't afford, you know, five families would share a computer or they could only use the computer at the library or they had a really old, crappy 5-year-old computer with like a really old outdated browser and we didn't want to, you know, we wanted to be accessible to them. So we really better make sure that we, you know, even though we're using web standards, we better not use CSS for our layout because we have to support, you know, all those people. That's all over now because those people have phones. The people who were disenfranchised now have really smart phones or devices and they're online like everybody else. And so those are the contexts, and the context, it's more like the context is touch or the context is whatever the context happens to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you, I mean, so here's your workflow, right? Designers and coder workflows and stuff. workflow used to be, I'd sit down, I'd decide what's, you know, the client would tell me what, you know, it's 800 by 600. Okay. And then I, and then I make something in Photoshop, or I do wireframes first and then I make something in Photoshop.
Photoshop. Yep.
So
hand that to the developers and then go start another design project.
All of that. Everything we've just described is totally out the window. We don't know the sizes. We never really did. I don't know. There is no canonical design of the site, you know, because it's responsive. What's the design of the site? The design is more like a system, right?
Exactly. That's one of the quotes in my presentation, actually. It was Anna Debenham. I don't know how you say her name. Debenham? Okay. I apologize, Anna, if you're listening to this. But she's done a lot of great work talking about style guides. And, you know, the quote is, you know, a website is a system, not pages.
Yes.
And that is so key to the whole shift, and also to all the deliverables that we are now make more sense in the workflow. So like those static comps that everyone's done forever just don't cut it. You know, they don't make sense anymore. And I've had this, you know, this like experience, like, well, if not Photoshop, what? You know, so the talk was an attempt to answer that what, and also the conference that I'm putting together is for people like me who are more design than developer, you know some code, but really like their joy and their main time is spent doing on the design side, not optimizing and accessibility and all of the really detailed development stuff. But like HTML and CSS is part of our design toolkit now. Absolutely. There's a big, you know, do designers need to code debate, which I like to avoid. Mm-hmm. But we both know the answer. You can't do all Photoshop now unless you want to make, you know, 13 different designs for every page level of a site. It's just not the right tool anymore.
Right.
So,
Not that there's anything wrong with it. You still use Photoshop. You still got to use Photoshop.
Absolutely.
For some
yeah,
things.
That's where there's a difference between where you do your creative work and how you communicate your creative work. You know, so Photoshop, you know, some people do their creative work right in the browser with CSS. I'm not one of those people. Like, I need to play and like magic happens when I'm pushing pixels around. Like, juxtapositions happen, accidents happen, you know, like that's the creative place where I do the creative work. But then communicating the creative, you know, communicating the design, particularly if you're communicating design that has to change to fit, you know, 320 or 240 pixels and every pixel up to 2400. You know, you need a different way to communicate it. And, you know, what's emerging is this getting, you know, into HTML, even for the wireframing, like, you know, get to HTML right away. And I like to think of it as like get into its natural habitat, you know, get your design into its natural habitat. So everything makes sense. You know, your clients might be put off at first by not getting the comps are used to, but like if, from what I hear from people like Matt Griffin of Bearded, he wrote that wonderful article recently for A List Apart, mm-hmm. about like, no, clients actually, they see that it makes more sense and they're more involved in the process and, you know, they're able to, you know, live without those comps. If you're giving things that make sense and keep them involved in the process.
We find that as well at HappyCog. It's more engaging to the client to actually see, you know, I don't want a picture of the app I'm making. I want to play with the app.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, style guides have been around forever. And, you know, I've written a whole bunch of them myself for branding and for website systems, but, they're becoming a new tool of the web designer to describe the system of the website, as opposed to what the pages are of the website and, you know, documenting every little piece that can be, you know, mixed and matched to a certain degree in different column contexts. But it's interesting. I think it's really cool. And I also think that people need some help with it. So this Artifact conference, I just put out on Twitter, like, hey, I want a conference for designers that really how to do these new deliverables. Who's in? And I got a message back like within minutes from Christopher Schmidt of Environments for Humans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm in, let's talk about it. So we're still in the early fledgling stages of it, but We do have a little website. If you want to sign up, get your email on the list. It's artifactconf.com.
Right. Artifactconf.com. And follow at Twitter, although there isn't much there yet.
We're really just getting started.
Artifactconf.
Right.
Artifactconf.
Yep. So that's, you know, it's my dream conference where, you know, it's going to be just more how-to demos than you know, inspiring talks. There are so many conferences right now doing like the big, you know, the big inspirational conceptual stuff. I really want a lot of things like how to use a responsive framework. You know, like I've been doing this a while and it's like, okay, I'll use a framework and I go and it takes me to GitHub and I'm like, I don't know what to do now. Oh, and that's another thing we're going to do. How designers, you know, GitHub for designers, Git and GitHub for designers, because that, you know, if you're designing in code, you're going to be sharing code. If you're in this, you know, agile iterative process, you need to play well with others. So you need to learn the modern tools to do that. But there are lots of, you know, techniques, you know, for creating style guides for websites that are being developed. And so, yeah, just lots of cool how-to stuff to keep up with all the changing ways to do things.
Very cool. How many days is the conference and where are you having it and all that?
It will be in Austin, Texas. We don't have
nice.
An exact date yet, but probably late spring, like end of May, early June. And right now we're looking at 2 days plus perhaps a day of workshops. Like I said, very early planning stages here, but I've got a vision. Like, I just want to help people with the things that I need help with. I'll help myself too. It's like, oh, maybe I'll get them to come and show me how to do this. If you want to, that would be great.
So if how is on one side and BDConf is on another side, is Artifactconf conference is obviously going to be closer to BDConf. How is it going to be different from BDConf?
I have not attended how myself. I'm familiar with the magazine from back in the day.
Right. They still publish. They still publish. But
there are conferences. I have not.
No, me either. So never mind.
But
AIGA then.
BDConf, you know, there's certainly some design. There are definitely some design elements to BDConf and some design inspiration. They do definitely address it. But I always feel like it's more targeted to developers.
Right.
We're not getting into, you know, this one won't be tackling JavaScript. It's really about like the design process, like organizing, the layout, the visual, where you do your visual work, how you do that work, what tools you use. I'm kind of interested to see more about this Adobe Reflow product that is actually, you can design in CSS with real web, real rendered type, and then it does responsive stuff for you. So that sounds pretty dreamy. I have to actually play around with it and see if it's, you know. But it looks like it might be a promising design tool. I don't know about developing the final production level.
Right, not a production code tool.
Right, yeah. So, and that's what I'm interested in. Like, you know, even like Stephen Hay, who writes a lot of in this area of in the mobile web design, he's been presenting a lot about responsive workflow. You know, to me, he's a total ninja and he's using tools that like I can't, you know, they're command line tools. Like, oh my God. It's like, and he says, you know, as thorough and as involved and as advanced as that is, he still considers his code like design code and he hands it off. You know, he does work, give it to the developers to super optimize and script it out and do all of that work. So I think we'll stop short of production quality code. Like these are the tools for figuring out your design. And right now that includes, you know, HTML and CSS at minimum, I think.
This is great. It's been a pleasure having you here today. I want to thank you for that. If people are interested in more about this, places to go are, let's see, at Genville on Twitter.
Yep, that's me on Twitter.
LearningWebDesign.com for the latest book. Twitter.com, ArtifactConf, or just go to conf, and there's a SlideShare URL, which I won't attempt to say out loud here, but we will put it up on the website. So if you're listening to this, you can go to 5x5.tv and get the URL and look at the. How do you feel about slide presentations when you're not there to present, by the way? I always have mixed feelings about that myself.
Oh, like putting them out there?
Yeah.
Without the narrative? Yeah.
Without you.
A lot got lost.
Yeah.
You know, there were things that, you know, that I was saying that weren't, I didn't realize until they were online and people were commenting on it. It's like, oh, but you didn't hear the part where I said that. You know?
That's like,
so I think I would actually, when I do this again, add a bunch of annotation to the actual slides that go.
Or just write another book.
Or just, I have all the time in the world.
Yes. With the, the book fairy will come and visit you. Well, I hope both of us are bracing for another East Coast storm.
That's
I hope
right.
You guys get through it okay. I hope we get through it okay. And I'm very pleased with Skype. After crashing 700 times while we were prepping for this show, it has been fine the whole time we did the show, which is great. So thank you, Skype. Thank you, Shutterstock.com, you marvelous people, you, with Big Web Show 11 as the secret discount code to get 30% off any package at Shutterstock.com. Thank you, Jenville, and we'll talk to you, everybody, real soon.
Thank you, Jeffrey.